Well, good morning, church. For those that are visiting, you are in for a great time of celebration, worship, reflection into who the Lord Jesus is. And this is part A of a two-part. Part B is down at the beach, so we have to all kind of get in cars and race down to the beach at the end of the service, and we'll continue and conclude our service down there. This is our summer series, and we've been looking at different questions that God asks us. And we have obviously a lot of questions for God, and often when, if you read in both Old and New Testament, when we ask those questions to God, he doesn't really answer those questions, but he actually answers the heart question. And if each of those people who are asking those questions are honest with themselves, like, that was exactly actually what I was asking about. But to turn it back on us, God asks us questions. And we looked at the first one, Adam or mankind, where are you? God was out actively seeking for a man who had walked in independence from him and separated themselves from God and died spiritually and should have died physically. But God was actively looking to seek mankind out to restore a relationship. And then last week, we looked at Jesus putting a pop quiz on the disciples, and he said, who do people say that I am? And they gave a whole bunch of different Bible, Old Testament prophets, etc., or even John the Baptist. But then Jesus kind of turned it on me, who do you say that I am? And that question is answered every day of our lives because Jesus lives in us. And so we're inviting people by his presence in us. We're inviting people to see who Jesus is. And that question is answered, and it's very convicting. So today, we're continuing that, as Janu mentioned, and we're tying it in together with the ministry spotlight. Thanks, Craig and Lib. The Rattle the Bones, Ezekiel 37. There's a wonderful question in there that God asks his people. They're his people who are like, if you know the story of Ezekiel 37, they're like a group, a whole army that's in a valley, dead, dry bones, they're all disconnected, and it's utterly hopeless. These are God's people. These aren't unbelievers. These are God's people feeling this way. And the problem with them is that they didn't take the message of baptism. And we're going to have a few people come up in a moment, and we're going to have them share a little bit of their story and their walk and their journey with Jesus. And then we're as a congregation, so even if you're from a different congregation in a different province or wherever, we're all going to stand together as one body, the body of Christ, and we're going to support them in prayer for this step of obedience as God has put this conviction on their hearts. Now, I believe, and we won't know exactly until they get up here, I believe there's six. But you may be here this morning, and you've had a nudge all along, whether we've had baptisms in the winter, and we set the chairs around the makeshift baptismal tank in the middle of the gym floor here, or you've come down to the beach. We want to give you an opportunity to respond based on the message from Ezekiel 37. Can these dry bones live? Can they live? And so if that's you, and you've been kind of putting that aside and kind of saying, Lord, maybe I'm too old, or I'm not good enough, this will encourage you, because the valley of dry bones, dead people can't do anything. And so they're waiting for the work of somebody who can make them alive again and then empower them to live the way he wants them to live. And so God's people were feeling like a valley of dry bones, and God met them there to awaken them with the message of baptism. So in a few minutes, I'm going to invite them up here, and we're going to do a little bit of interviewing. I'm going to invite us all to pray for them. But I just want to make sure that we understand together as a body what the message is. And just briefly, baptism answers this question, and it'll tie nicely into Ezekiel 37. But in Romans chapter 5, verse 18, there's a whole kind of description between two people, man, one group of people, and the Lord Jesus, who was man the way God made man to live. And all those who are in Adam, and who's in Adam? Everyone who's born, man, woman, boy, or girl, the moment you're born in Adam. And in Adam, you get a whole bunch of gifts from Adam. You get condemnation, you get judgment, you get to transgress, you get to be born a sinner. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. And so Romans chapter 5 goes on to kind of show the list. But if you're born again, You are now a child of God, and Jesus lives in you. And Jesus, that second Adam, that second man, he has a bunch of gifts for us as well. Justification, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, all that's found in another man. So, because we're all born in Adam, we inherit Adam's nature. We can't blame Adam. That's just who we are because we are Adam's offspring. So that's why Jesus says you must be born again so that we can become the children, the offspring of God, so that we can get the gifts that Jesus wants to give us. So right at the end of that little discourse between Adam and the second Adam, Jesus, we have this. It says in verse 18, as through one transgression, so one act of independent sin, in the day you eat the fruit thereof, you shall surely die, there resulted in condemnation to everyone. Thanks a lot, Adam. No, we're just born in Adam. Somebody has said really aptly, God has no grandchildren. You're either his child or you're not. So every child has to come to that crisis of faith to accept what Christ has done in regeneration, life, sanctification, all those things that he offers us, and we just put our faith in him and we're born again. That's the bones coming alive. So, even so, through one act of righteousness, this is Jesus, there resulted in justification of life to everyone. So if you're an Adam this morning, you get Adam's gifts, condemnation, judgment, all those things, but you don't need to remain there this morning. You can say, Lord Jesus, I'm turning. I'm turning from Adam's nature and I'm turning to you. I need your life. And at that moment, you are justified before him. And a great acronym for justification is just as if I'd never sinned. That's how he looks at us. Because we're restored to function, God indwelling us again. For as through one man's disobedience, the many, that's an understatement, everyone was made sinners. Through one man's disobedience. The obedience of the one. So because of the obedience of Jesus, what do we know about that? He obeyed his Father to the point of death, death on a cross. And because he was willing to obey in dependency on God to that end, God raised him from the dead and highly exalted him that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. That's resurrection. That's those bones coming alive. So the many, all were made sinners because of one act of independent disobedience. Even so, through the obedience of one, many will be made alive. And that might be right now. You're turning to the Lord Jesus and saying, it's not about me getting out of hell and into heaven. It's about me who is dead, becoming alive from the dead. That's called resurrection life. And if that's happened, you are welcome today to be baptized along with the six that will be baptized. And I invite you to do that. That's when baptism should technically take place, at the moment somebody, any man, woman, boy, or girl turns to Jesus and says, I need you, and receives from Jesus his justification, his life, his work on our behalf, we go and proclaim that outwardly in baptism. Now, it goes on to say this, the law then came so that the transgression would increase. So we think, okay, just give me the rules, the law, and I'll do it. But God says, you know what? I gave my law so that the sin, that independent spirit, would actually increase. So the law doesn't actually help us. It makes it worse. And Israel, in their unbelief, Paul is a great example, in their unbelief says, I can do it. And what is that telling us? The law came and the transgression, the sin increased. I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. That's disobedient independence. But where sin increased, God's grace abounded all the more. All God is looking for any of us is to say, Lord Jesus, I'm quitting. I'm stopping my own independent living for you. I'm going to depend on you so that grace might abound. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness. That's righteousness means the activity of God. So grace would reign through his activity to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Here's the next chapter, the next verse. There shouldn't be a chapter division here, but look at this. It says this. Well, if I sin more, I get more grace. So what's the logic? I should sin more so that I can get more grace. And that's what Paul is answering, and this is baptism. Shall we continue in sin? What is sin? Not lying, cheating, stealing. That's a result of sin. What is sin? an attitude of independence. I can do it. I don't need you. When a child is learning to speak, the first words are, no. First they show it, then they say it. No, that's an independent spirit, and that's because of their moms. No, because of because of Adam. Because of the nature of being born in Adam. I'm not going any further than that. Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin? So it's an attitude. Baptism is a faith dependency on Jesus to identify with him. We couldn't pay for our sin. We're in Adam. We're already dead. Dead men can't pay the price for sin. Jesus was fully man, spiritually alive, physically alive, and he made full payment for sin. So how shall we continue in that independent spirit so that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, having been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. There's three things in there. By faith in Jesus and his work of justification on our behalf, all he asks us to do is just turn to him, put our faith in him. What happens? By faith in him, we've died with Christ to sin. We have died with him by faith in his work. Isn't that wonderful? That means the penalty of sin that you have done because you and I are a sinner has been dealt with because of our identification of faith in Jesus. Amen? Go a little charismatic this morning, amen? Yes, that's praise the Lord. Secondly, the second message, we've been buried with him. What's the purpose of a burial service? Have you ever been to a cemetery? They call it a burial service. What the purpose of a burial service is to put what is dead in the ground and then walk away. You're leaving by faith the old life. So you, if you put your faith in Jesus, the penalty of sin has been dealt with based on his righteousness for you. Not only that, the capacity to leave that old life behind is there. You've been buried with Christ. To leave what is dead behind. Amen? Oh, that's good news. If it stops there, it's hopelessness. But here's the third part. Having then Christ been raised from the dead. Why was he raised? For our justification. How would we know that Jesus' payment for us was enough? God raised him from the dead so that we might be justified. His resurrection tells us we are justified before God. So as we put our faith in his resurrection, we too walk in newness of life. We are no longer slaves of sin, its penalty or its power. One day when Jesus comes back, we'll even be set free from the presence of sin. And creation, Romans 8, is waiting for that day. And that'll be a glorious day. But baptism answers the question, should I continue in sin, in independence from God, so that I get more of his grace? He says, you don't understand grace. Grace is not for our disobedience. That's what we get. We get mercy when we disobey. Grace is for obedience. Grace is what we get when we turn in faith to him and we get his work on our behalf, the obedience of faith in him. So this is what the baptism is declaring. So those who are being baptized, I would invite you to come up, along with those who are being who are going to support them in their baptism, either by prayer or by reading a scripture. So please come on up. Yeah, should I sing? Just as I am, you know. Come on up, those who are going to walk in this step of baptism, and those who are supporting them as well. I see one. Here we go. Perfect. Dun, 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 dun. Stage is getting wide. Come over here this way, maybe a little bit. Well, there we go. Let's. Perfect. So I'm going to pass out a mic. Chris, I'll let you take over at a certain point. And so I will give this to Molly. So, it's on. Should be good. So, come on. Yeah, why don't we come up here? So we get highlight each person individually. Our goal in having a baptism, even though it could be one or many, that for the person being baptized, this is a memorial stone for them. They're able to look back and say, that was so important to me. And so this is Molly Bach. And she's going, sorry? Hey, there you go. Good job. She's going to, first of all, tell us a little bit. I got my questions here. I have some questions for you. So when did you become a Christian?
I accepted Jesus as my Savior when I was 7. I'm blessed with Christian parents and family. I have grown up knowing biblical truths through my family, attending youth, Awana, and church. But in the past few years, I have seen my faith become my own as I choose to spend time with God.
Wonderful. Isn't that great? Secondly, tell us a little bit about your walk with Jesus. What does it mean for you today?
One thing Jesus has been doing in my life is strengthening my trust in Him. Through hard things such as migraines and asthma, I've learned that God is good, He's in control of my life, and that He will supply all of my needs.
God is in control of your life? Wow, isn't that great?
A verse that has been encouraging to me, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Zephaniah 3:17.
So, Zephaniah, Old Testament good news. He will rejoice over you. He loves you. He's going to deliver you. This is all wonderful news. What a great verse to remember as you go into the water and recognize in identification with Jesus that I've been baptized into His death and burial and resurrection. So, why do you want to get baptized today?
I want to get baptized, declare that I want to live for Him and that I want Him to be Lord of my life.
Lord of your life. Isn't that wonderful? Do we get an amen to that? Amen. That's great. Thank you, Molly. Well, hello, young lady. Come on right up here. What's your name?
My name is Abby.
Abby. All right. This is she your sister? You're admitting that today?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So this is Abby. Abby's going to go through these three questions, but she's already wrote them out in her own personal testimony. So if you want to put your paper up there and read your testimony, that would be wonderful.
When I was 5 years old, I asked Jesus to be my friend forever. I've grown up in a Christian family going to Awana and Sunday school here at Broadview. I'm also enjoying leading on the kids' worship team because I like praising God. This past year, I've read my Bible a lot more and have grown in my faith. One verse I really like is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Now I've realized that I'm called to be baptized. I would want to be baptized because I want to be obedient to God and I would like others to know that I'm following Jesus.
Amen. Abby, I want you to know that verse, God says, I know the plans for you. So we want you to know as the body of Christ that God knows the plans for you, not to harm you, but to give you prosperity in His life and peace and love. So trust Him as you take that step of baptism. Thank you very much. Did we get an amen? Yeah, that's great. Stay up here. I'm going to have the whole Bach family, mom and dad, are supporting their daughters today in baptism. And Dan is going to share a few thoughts to encourage their faith today.
Yeah, just wanted to share a couple things. It's been such a joy for us as parents to watch our girls grow. We're so blessed to see you learning to love God and in turn love others. Of all the things we desire for you as your parents, nothing matters more than to know that you get to know and love your Heavenly Father. We're so pleased to stand with you today as you choose to take a further step of faith in being baptized. And this is our prayer for you from Ephesians 3:14-20. For this reason, we kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. We pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Mm. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the measure of the goodness of the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bach family. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Chris, I'm going to turn it over to you, and I'll pass this mic behind.
Thank you, Lord. We're good?
Yes.
It is such a wonderful opportunity and just a huge blessing to be able to walk with students and families through this journey and see what the Lord is up to. And I'm so excited for you to see a few students and one older student and their story this morning. First, we have Adele Larson, who's going to share her testimony. And then right after, her leader, Rebecca Jurgens, is going to share a word of encouragement after you share. So good morning.
Hello, my name is Adele. Jesus has always been a part of my life. When I was 5, I decided I wanted to follow Jesus. I have grown up always surrounded by Christian role models and going to Christian events. Through Sunday school, Awana, youth group, quiz meet, camp, and church, I have been taught about Jesus and have grown in my personal relationship with him. My parents, along with many others, both leaders and friends, have poured into my life, encouraged me, and built me up in my faith. I don't just want this faith to be me doing things because others tell me to. I have chosen to live my life for Jesus because I know and have seen in my own life how much he loves me. He died to pay and wash away my sins so that I can have a relationship with him. Hiding God's word in my heart has made a huge impact in my life. Through memorizing verses, when I need to be reminded of something, whether I'm sad or joyful, God brings to mind these truths I learned and how I should live for him. Recently, God has been teaching me to trust in him with everything, choosing to put him first. And when I have a worry or a doubt, I can bring it to him, and he will take care of it. He can help me to trust him. All I need to do is ask. Throughout my life, God continues to be faithful and guide me. Even when circumstances don't seem to make sense, I can trust him. He knows what he's doing. This year, I asked God to teach me about baptism. At youth, we talked about it. Then it was mentioned in a sermon, and then in another sermon while I was at another church. After that, I told God that if I should get baptized, to make an opportunity for it. For a couple of months, it wasn't mentioned, and I asked God, "When do you want me to be baptized?" Then a couple weeks ago, I went to a baptism, and after that, I was sure God wanted me to be baptized soon. It was mentioned at church that there would be a baptism Sunday coming up, and so I told God that if he really wanted me to be baptized, for it to be mentioned to me. All that week, it wasn't mentioned, so I asked God if he really wanted me to be baptized or not. Then Chris sent a youth email about it, and after that, I knew that after all the many times I had asked God about baptism, and he showed me that I should get baptized. So here I am today. After asking God many times and him faithfully showing me more about baptism, I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized because as a Christian, Jesus commands me to be baptized. It is a reminder of how I am dead to my sin, and through Christ I live. Baptism does not save me, but it is a response to God and an action of obedience to Jesus and another step in my faith journey. A verse that has encouraged me is Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I want to live my life not to please others, but to glorify God in all I do.
Adele, what an honor it is to stand up here with you as we celebrate your baptism. I still remember when you first came to youth in grade 7, and I was blown away by your joy and your presence in the youth group. Even in a group of Christians, you stood out to me. And when I reflect back on that, I think that's a picture of what it is to have God's light shine through you. Getting to be your small group leader over the last couple years has been a huge blessing in my life. I've enjoyed all our discussions, picnics, coffee dates, and small group time. I know that you've not only been an encouragement to me and your small group, but to the other girls at youth and camp, and a good role model. Your devotion to God and his word have been such an inspiration to me. I know you are busy, and you could have every excuse to not do something like quiz meets. But you have not only shown up every year, you have challenged yourself further by doing 300 verses when most don't do more than 150 of that. And when competitively speaking, it's not only not a benefit, as you're not being quizzed on those extra 150 verses, but it's also a bit of a disadvantage having to memorize twice as many verses as those you're competing against. But you've chosen to do the 300 verses 2 years in a row. And that shows me you are more interested in getting to know God than you are in winning. I think this is a good lesson in life when making decisions. Don't do what will give you praise from man, but what will lead you closer to God. Meditating on God's word helps you become more attuned to what God's voice sounds like, and that nearness to him is the ultimate prize. As a result of seeking God through his word, I have seen your confidence grow over the years and have appreciated all your insights and knowledge that you share in our small group. Like when I couldn't remember a particular verse and you said, Corinthians chapter 6, and then followed up by, I've been studying Corinthians all year, trust me. You are a trusted resource in the group for sure. I have two verses for you today. The first is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The second verse is from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. In repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. I hope the combination of the two verses is a reminder that it is God who shines his light through you and for his glory. You only need to abide and rest in him. Don't strive to be a light, but strive to abide in the one who is the light. I love you and I am proud of you for how you're following after our Savior.
Praise the Lord for all he's doing, and I just thank you, Rebecca, for sharing on behalf of Adele. That's just it's so wonderful to see what God is doing with the next generation. Sophia, this is Sophia Polyak, and she is going to share with us.
Hi, my name is Sophia Polyak. I'm 16 years old, and I grew up in a Christian household, and I've been attending Broadview for as long as I can remember. I've participated in various ministries, specifically Awana and VBS. I've attended King's Christian School since preschool, and this fall I'll be going into grade 11. When I was around 4 years old, I learned about salvation in Awana. I decided I wanted to accept Jesus into my heart, so later that day I asked my mom how I could do that, and she walked me through how to accept Jesus as my Savior. Although that was the first time verbally choosing to follow Jesus, my walk with God was just beginning. As I got older, my faith wasn't always strong. My faith was just me going through the motions, but not necessarily living for Jesus. Throughout middle school, I struggled with my confidence and anxiety. I was living in fear and dependent on my own strength. During those times, I felt unsure what my walk with God was and what I wanted it to be. As I got older, I realized I didn't want to just partake in religious practices. I wanted to know God's character and grow in a real relationship with him, living for the Lord and not myself. Recently, God has been teaching me the importance of Scripture. If I want to know his character more, I just need to read his word. He's also been teaching to give myself up and let him be in control, giving all my burdens to him and not leaning on my own understanding and strength. Baptism has been something on my heart for quite some time. I knew this is something I wanted to do, but I always ended up putting it off because life got busy. I wasn't ready, but mainly because I was afraid of speaking publicly. I want to be baptized because I feel it's the next step in my walk with Jesus, and I'm ready to publicly declare my faith as an act of obedience and to celebrate the new life he's given me. Some verses that have encouraged me during my walk with God and preparing for today are Romans 6, verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And Isaiah 41, 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand.
Sophia, it has been a blessing and a joy to be your mom. And it's a blessing to stand here with you this morning. We have obviously known you since you were born, or your parents. We know everything about you, or so I sometimes think. But God knows you even more, and he knows where you are headed. He knows your strengths and your weaknesses, and he knows your struggles. And it's been cool to see you this year to face some of those things and to trust in the Lord through those things. I've really appreciated leading Awana Games with you this year, my games buddy. It's been fun teaching kids, but it's also tested our patience as things get crazy, and you have been steady through all of it. And as the year progressed, it's been neat seeing you step up into more of a leadership position in that, and I just encourage you to keep trying new things where God has you and to serve him in different ways, to find out what are the things that get you excited and what are the things that you're good at, and how can he use you. As you take this step in your faith, Papa and I picked two verses for you. We want you to remember God's promise in Joshua 1:9, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And in 1 Timothy 4:12, remember, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young." And I guess this would be for everyone that's up here today. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. May you trust him. Walk confidently in his love and know that he is with you every step of your journey. We are so proud of you, and we will continue to walk with you and pray for you as you grow in your faith.
Praise the Lord. Last week, the Lord was working in someone else's life, and nothing to do with Lawrence, nothing to do with me, nothing to do with anyone but the Holy Spirit doing his thing in Carolyn's life. So Carolyn is going to come forward and share her testimony. She's getting baptized alongside her daughter this morning, and I am just so thankful for what God's doing in your life. And
you said like 30 minutes, right? No, I'm just kidding.
35.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm told I'm not allowed to cry and I'm not allowed to be weird, so I'm going to try not to do any of those things. I have three teenage daughters, and Sophia's one of them. Anyway, my name is Carolyn. I'm choosing to be baptized. And this is just a little bit of my story. I grew up in a Christian home, a Dutch Christian home, and with that came some pretty typical Christian Reformed church traditions. We went to church every Sunday. We prayed before and after every meal. And yes, we did have peppermints during the sermon. I think I might be bringing that back here because it's a good tradition. I was baptized as an infant, which is the tradition in that church, and from a young age, I was eager to learn about God. Went to VBS, Sunday school, and then eventually went through catechism. But before I was able to publicly make my profession of faith, which is the tradition in that church, our family left the church for a period of time and eventually ended up here at Broadview. Initially, I viewed God as holy and powerful but distant. He wasn't close to me. But as I got older, I started meeting people who didn't just know about Jesus, they knew him personally. I saw a faith that wasn't based on earning God's approval, but on earning or receiving his grace, and I wanted that. As a teenager, I confessed my sin, trusted in Jesus as my Savior, and began following him. It was here at Broadview in church community that my faith really began to grow. I became involved in youth group, children's ministry, and served wherever I could. And over the years, God has taught me so much. He led me into the nursing profession, gave me opportunities to serve in Ukraine, and specifically led me to work with children and now children with complex medical needs and disabilities. He blessed me with a wonderful husband and three teenage daughters. And eventually, we came back here to Salmon Arm. Life was good, but it wasn't always easy, and my faith hasn't always been steady. I've had struggles, and when I look back, I do see God's hand so clearly through every stage of my life, but as I have gotten older, it's been harder to have that childlike faith. So why haven't I been baptized? So Chris asked me last Sunday, and I didn't really have an answer, and where is Chris? I didn't feel like he was convicting me in this, because I already knew that in the past, the Holy Spirit had placed that on my heart many times. But every time I found a reason to wait, I struggled with authenticity. I convinced myself I wasn't ready. I told myself I wasn't worthy. My faith wasn't strong enough. I felt like a hypocrite. I still was having those thoughts even this morning as I stood up here. In so many areas of my life, I felt like a failure. I was struggling. But I was my own barrier. See, I'm an overthinker in life. I like to analyze every situation from every possible angle before making a decision. It affects how I clean my house, how I am a wife, how I parent my kids, how I even make a recipe. And ultimately, it's been affecting how I live out my faith. The problem with this way of thinking is that it comes from fear. It feeds my desire to stay in control, and it convinces me that if I just think hard enough or try hard enough, I can fix everything and somehow achieve a perfection or become good enough. Without realizing, I had overcomplicated something that was very simple. We have a joke in our house because one of my girls likes to say, "Mom, it's not that deep." Well, it's not, but I made it that way. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." It's a verse we teach our five-year-olds in Awana, and yet somehow I was missing the point. Jesus didn't wait for me to be perfect before he gave his life for me. My salvation has never depended on my effort, but I was living that way. Thankfully, God is even as faithful even when we are not. He has been incredibly patient with me as I've been slow to learn. Last month, he made that very clear as our family walked through the loss of my Oma. She passed away last month. And during that time, old memories and beliefs resurfaced. Circle back to that Dutch upbringing. Things that I didn't realize were still shaping my relationship with God. I came to a point where I couldn't even pray. I didn't have words to speak, which is very unlike me. I felt like I had slowly built up a wall in that part of my life. And yet God's presence was so overwhelming. Jesus was already at work. He's the one that initiates. He's working, whether we even see it or not. I just needed to come. In John 6:37, Jesus says, "Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." And in Matthew 11:28, he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus doesn't say, "Change first and then come." He simply says, "Come." Come with your struggles, your doubts, your fears, your questions, your need to control everything. He knows exactly who you are, and he invites us anyway. When we come to him, he is the one who changes us. So when Chris asked me if I would be willing to be baptized, I didn't think about it. I just said yes, because I knew that's what I needed to do. It's been a struggle this week getting to this point, and I know that it will be a struggle every day. This is why we have to put on our helmet of salvation to protect our thoughts. I am choosing to be baptized today because I want to publicly acknowledge what Christ has done for my life on the cross. He died for my sins, for my pride, for my fear, for my need to be in control, for my attempts to live in my own strength, and because of him, I don't have to live that way anymore on the daily. Romans 6:11 says, "Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Today, I'm stepping forward in faith to publicly declare that Christ has risen in my life. Jesus is alive. Through his Spirit, he continues to work in me, and I am choosing to trust him.
Well, good morning. I will keep it short. As you can imagine, I feel very blessed and honored to celebrate not only Carolyn, but also Sophia, as they are taking this important step of faith and publicly declare their commitment to Christ through baptism. Watching Carolyn journey through this decision has been especially meaningful, as I have seen her wrestle with questions, seek God's direction, and trust his leading, and it has been inspiring to see her faith grow. Today is a beautiful reminder that God meets us where we are and continues to work in our lives as we seek Him. I've chosen a verse for today, and it comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6. And it states, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Mm-hmm. So thank you for celebrating with us, and I feel that this is a very special moment in our lives, and I'm very proud of both Sophia and Carolyn for taking this very seriously, and I definitely feel blessed. So thank you.
Amen. Jesus Christ, our living hope, as we just sang, and I think this has been testified to clearly. Now, we recognize the fact that in this time, there's an emotional response, there's fear, there's all these emotions, but also there's the work of the Lord Jesus, who, as we just read in Philippians, he will complete the good work, he will do it. But there's also the work of the accuser. The accuser is accusing us before the Father all the time. And I just want to encourage us as a body to pray not only with us now, but through the week, because the accuser will actively, as Carolyn has been mentioned, as she's been preparing to come up to take baptism today, that questioning, that discouragement, that's the accuser causing us to doubt. And I just want to encourage us as the body to pray for these folks ongoing, as the Holy Spirit just prompts you that the accuser will be kept at bay, and that Jesus' voice, his leading, would be clear, that they would continue to step forth in faith. So as the body, the community of Christ, whatever church you go to, let's stand together. If you're a believer, stand with us. I'm going to pray for this group, and then we're going to just devotionally wrap up as we prepare to go to the beach. So let you pray. If you agree with what's being said, just either out loud and in your heart, say amen, so be it. That would be wonderful. So let's pray. Father, again, thank you so much for what we've heard. As Paul says, with the heart man believes, with his tongue he confesses, and he is saved. Lord, the working in the heart is what's needed, because out of the heart, as James says, flows all these evils. So thank you for giving them a new heart. Thank you that with that heart, they've believed. And instead of a heart of stone, you've given them a heart of flesh, and you are writing your law, your character, who you are, on their hearts. And because of that work in the inner man, the heart, the inner person, they've confessed with their mouths who you are, what you've done, what you are doing. And so we, as the congregation, the body of Christ, say thank you, Lord Jesus, for your faithfulness in their lives. Thank you for how you're leading them onward. And Lord, I do pray especially today as we go down to the beach and we go into the water and others are watching who may need to see the activity of Jesus being at the beach this morning. They're gonna enter into a congregational worship service. Thank you for how you're going to work. But moving forward from the water, we just pray for each one here, Lord Jesus, that you would protect them from the lies of the evil one, the accuser of the brethren. Thank you for the hope that we hear in Revelation that one day the accuser will be cast out of heaven, no longer to accuse us before the Father. That would be a wonderful day. But right now we step forward in faith, trusting you to be faithful to do it. So we just give these people to you, to a faithful God who promises to finish the work that you've begun. Thank you that we as the body of Christ, your body here, can support them, pray for them, walk alongside, and encourage them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, yes. So as I mentioned, and we're going to have the music team come up for our closing song, that it's a sending out song. Christ is enough for us. In everything that we face, Christ is enough. Why? Because it's his life. So in a moment, they're going to lead us in response. But I just want to read the passage that we looked at. We may kind of go into more depth next week, Lord willing, or we'll do some other question. But here's the question. Remember, as I mentioned at the beginning, shall we continue in sin? Israel, redeemed, Remember, they put their faith in the blood of the Lamb, and God rescued them out of Egypt, and he brought them into Canaan, and he says, be careful, because you'll take your eyes off me, the blesser, and onto the blessings, and you'll start trusting in the blessings rather than the blesser. And the blessings, though not sinful, became sin to them because they put their faith in those things rather than him. And they ended up living no different than the world was living. God's people living no different. They were continuing in sin. We're not talking about lying, cheating, stealing. Remember, what was sin? That attitude of independence. So in Deuteronomy 6:23, it says, as I brought you out, so I'm going to bring you in. And all I want you to do is daily, today, if you hear my voice, don't harden your hearts. As I brought you out, I did it. I'm bringing you in. Rest is not about heaven. Rest is about his activity each day in our lives. So today is the day that the writer was talking about. Today for us. Don't harden your hearts. But step forward in faith. See, Israel had hardened their hearts, and they hardened them for hundreds of years to the point God said, okay, I'm taking you out of the land of rest, and I'm going to take you into the land of Assyria and Babylon until you repent. See, they were continuing in sin. And it was so severe that one of the girls read from Jeremiah, God had to say, you know what? I know the plans for you. They were walking in disobedience. They were thinking that God had abandoned them. God didn't abandon them. Because as we read in Philippians, he who began a good work will be faithful. See, the work, the finished work of Christ is dependent on his faithfulness, not ours. So God remained faithful to them. But they had felt that God abandoned them. I'm just going to read the verses, and then we're going to pray together, and I'm going to read a prayer from Psalm 32 that is basically a summation of all this. But Ezekiel's name means God has strengthened me. That's Ezekiel. God has strengthened me. The hand of the Lord. Look at the wording here. The hand of Jehovah, life, was upon me, and he brought me out. He's in captivity along with the disobedient people. He's right there with them. But God brought him out of that experience, and the Spirit of the Lord put me down in the middle of the valley. Oh, God, thanks for doing this. I'm out of this problem. No, it got worse. He's in the valley of the shadow of death. In that valley, it was full of bones, and he caused me to pass among round about, and behold, there were many, very many on the surface of the valley, and they were dry. What does that mean? They'd been there a long time. God's people had been there a long time. Then he said to me, oh, dangerous question. Son of man, can these bones live? Now, here is the Bible school student answer. Oh, God, you know. You know, rather than be put on the spot and try and answer, what's the best thing to do? Just put it back on God. He knows. That's the safest thing to do. But that wasn't good enough for God. God says, okay, I'm going to show you that they can live. He said to me, prophesy. The word prophecy means to speak forth the testimony of Jesus. That's what Revelation 19:10. It's not future events. Prophesy. Tell them about Jesus. Prophesy over these bones and say to them, oh, dry bones, you've been here a long time. Hear the word of the Lord, life. Thus says the owner, Lord Adonai, God Elohim creator. Thus says the Lord master creator to these bones. In other words, I'm in charge. Behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. These are believers, folks. These are not unbelievers. I will put sinews on you. I will, you're noting the wording here, make flesh grow back upon you and cover you with skin and put my breath in you that you may come alive so that you may know that I am the Lord. This is baptism. Shall we continue in sin that grace might abound? May it never be. That's how Israel lived. I'm just going to expect God to be gracious. And God called them back over hundreds of years. He kept calling them back. And they said, nope. I can do it. They continued in sin, independence. So now they're despondent. They're discouraged. They're depressed. So what is God looking for Ezekiel? Not his ability, his obedience, faith. So I prophesied as I was told. And as I was prophesying, as he's speaking the words of life, there was a noise. The foot bones connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bones connected to the shin bone. You guys don't know it. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to continue to sing this song. But if you're from my generation as a kid, we heard that song a lot. The bones, there was a rattling and a noise, and the bones came together, bone to its bone, not the ankle bone to the head bone, ankle bone to the shin bone, it all in the right place. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew skin and covered them. they're being restored, but here's the problem, no life. We have a capacity of life. These are God's people, but they need his life each day. So God said, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on my people, these slain, that they may come to life. So I prophesied, I spoke forth as he commanded. He just obeying in faith, and breath came into them, and they came to life, and there stood on their feet an exceeding great army. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? God's people, are you living there? In hopeless discouragement and despondency out of our own disobedient sinfulness. Here's the interpretation, verse 11. And he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel, God's people. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will open your graves. So they're alive physically, but they need his life. And cause you to come up from your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. What's the land? Out of the land of captivity, failure, disobedience, back into the land of rest. I will bring you back. Rest means you're letting me do it. Change of activity. Then you will know that I am life, Jehovah, Lord. When I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people, coming up out of the water, I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land, land of rest. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it. Isn't that great? So simple. I've spoken it, and I will do it. That's how we get rid of that attitude of sin and no longer live in it, by repenting, turning, so that we might experience his life indwelling us to do his work. So, what is this hopeless, discouraged despondency? To continue in sin / independence leads us to a life of hopelessness. That's what Paul is saying. And when we go down to the water, part B of our service, we are saying that we are not going to live that way in our own activity, our own strength, our own understanding. We are going to forsake that and repent and turn to him. Faith comes by hearing. What did Ezekiel say? I will do it. God will do it. Here's the hearing part, folks, and you need to hear this morning. We need the Lord Jesus at all times. Not just when you became a Christian, not when Jesus comes back. He's going to do both those things and finish the work that he's done. But today, we no longer need to be under sin's power, independence. We need Jesus today. Faith comes by hearing. Faith is the dependent trust in him. Will you trust him? Maybe for the first time, or maybe just the reminder, hey, I've been living like Israel, alive, but living in the valley of the shadow of death. Hear the word of the Lord. His life breathed into our circumstances. Here it is. And this is exactly what we read from Ezekiel, from the interpretation. Jesus died for us to restore his life to us, to live his life through us. Don't continue in sin. Again, we're not talking about lying, cheating, stealing. That's a result of sin. Don't continue in independence. Shall we continue in sin that grace might abound? No. Repent. Put your faith in him. And you will not be like Israel, who for 450 years God had to call prophet after prophet, come, return to me, so that I might impart my life to you to live a different life. So, music team, come up. We're going to pray this psalm. So let's stand to the, because we're going to respond. So this will be our prayer. And it's exactly what we've been looking at. So after we finish reading this, we're going to respond in song. And then I'm going to give just a couple of instructions about how to, you know, what we're doing right after this. So pray with me the words of this psalm. If you need to read it or just listen. How blessed is the man whom Jehovah life does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin as a believer, my body, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality, my energy, my drive was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you. In my iniquity, I did not hide. I said, I will confess. I will agree. I will confess my transgressions to Jehovah, life. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. You forgave my independent spirit. You forgave me walking in disobedience to you. Selah. Think about that. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray. Who's a godly person? Somebody who has God living in them. Let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. Think about that. God responds, I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse and the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check, otherwise they will not come near you. When Jesus is in control of your life, that's life. Horses and mules don't get that life. But he says, don't behave like an animal. I want to live in you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness or goodness, faithfulness, shall surround him. Be glad in Jehovah. Rejoice, O you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all who are upright in heart. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Let's respond.